Hi, I'm Taylor Ward, and you're listening to Halfway Around the Halo.
Fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners racing back to the track. Gone! Big fly for Mike Trout. There it is. Hit number 3,000 for Albert Pujols. Gone! Big fly, Ohtani shot. Wall Trout leaps up, and he got it! Oh, my! Taylor has no hit. The Minnesota Twins.
The Angels, world champions.
Hello, and welcome back to Halfway Around the Halo, the LA Angels UK podcast. This is Season 6, Episode 1. I am your host, Nick Wright, at LA Angels UK on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and all your favorite social media platforms. We are back for a second episode of the season, just before spring training gets going in a couple of weeks' time. Been a few more Angels signings in the meantime. We're going to get going into that. We're going to take a bit of a deeper dive into the roster and just start talking some Angels baseball and ramp things up ahead of the season. I'm delighted to be joined by Toby again. Toby, how are you doing this afternoon, my friend?
Yeah, good. I'm looking forward to getting into it and see where we stand on the roster. So now I'm looking forward to it. I think we just skip the chit-chat and let's dive right in.
we kind of ignored it on the last episode, sort of like skirted around the edges of the roster and where it currently stands. So I thought as we head into spring that we'll have a proper look into it and where we think this Halos team actually is. It's been 9 years of disappointment, 9 years of pretty much losing. Is that going to change this year with this team? We're going to find out, but let's have a look at it as we go forward. But before we get onto that, since we last spoke, and we actually both flagged the bullpen as a potential area of strength going into next year. I think since we last spoke, the Stevenson deal got confirmed. We sort of knew about it then, but that got confirmed. We then brought Matt Moore back on a one-year, $9 million contract. And just yesterday, we signed Cisneros, formerly of Detroit. And so we've just continued to add on and add on onto that bullpen. What do you think about those signings since we last spoke?
I think I touched on it in the last episode, but it's more free agent relievers that don't have options. I think if you look at the projected roster construction now for the bullpen, there will only be Soriano that has the flexibility to move up or down, with obviously Herger and Wance having the options. So it just kind of, it might increase the talent on paper, but it also decreases the flexibility of what we can do moving those pieces around within the organization. So while it could be a good move, but it also kind of, like I say, limits the ability for the Angels to make those changes on bullpen days and things if people are struggling to move them down and move other people up. So yeah, it can go either way, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. But I think at this stage of the season, you'd rather have the depth than not. And having some of those young guys that do have the options that you can start in AAA, maybe they need a bit more seasoning. Someone we didn't mention there, like Ben Joyce coming in, where does he fit as we start the year? You mentioned Soriano. Everyone thinks he'll be in the bullpen to start the year, but you never know, I guess, which direction Perry's going to go with some of these more experienced veteran guys that he's signed on. Fairly cheap deals. I mean, other than Stevenson and Moore, Moore's got a fair chunk of cash. Stevenson obviously got a decent chunk of cash. And we know what Estevez is already there, but like he's signing these guys on fairly low money. It's like 1.25 million here, 1.75 million there. Luis Garcia obviously got about $4 million, but they're not insignificant amounts, but they're not huge amounts to write off if we need to. So I totally take your point. And we certainly struggled last year, didn't we, with the lack of flexibility and the lack of options in terms of sending some of these guys down and bringing them back up. But I think to start the year, it's important to have this depth. And also, some bounce-back candidates there. He certainly, Perry, sort of looked at careers, I think, as opposed to just last year, although in the case of Stevenson, he had a great second half. But yeah, what do you think about the approach Perry's taken outside of the options side of things to the type of arms he's brought in?
It does beg the question about how much money he has to spend in the offseason. Because like I say, a lot of the moves are $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million here and there. And it's kind of, does he not have the money to go and spend on the bigger kind of more well-known players, or is he kind of being smart with his moves and going, this guy's not in a great year, let's sign to a cheap deal? Because I think previously, like with Tyler Anderson, who had a career year, then came in and we saw how he did last year. So he's kind of gone the opposite way a little bit and taken guys who traditionally have been solid throughout their career and just maybe had a down year. And I think with the new coaching staff coming, obviously Matt Wise has moved on. With the new pitching staff to come in, that can hopefully bring some positive regression to these guys who might have struggled last year.
Yeah, we're going to need to see that. And I think you're spot on in terms of the money available now and what Perry has to spend and what hasn't been spent, I guess, more so. I think the payroll sits at something around 160 mil currently, something around that sort of figure. So there's money to play with compared to where we were last year, where we have been in previous years, as we approached the tax last year and just about got under it. But the money is there, and there are still players out there as we go into spring that we touched on last week that still haven't signed. You've got your Blake Snells, you've got your Cody Bellinger, you know, those type of sort of second-tier free agents, I would say. Maybe in this year they've been top-tier, but they're certainly probably a step down from the real elite, but they're still great baseball players. So you've got those guys still sitting out there. We've spoken about, you know, like Soler, JD Martinez, that kind of tier as well of players available. Do you think just before spring starts, we're going to see Perry making a splash? Because the money potentially is there, but it kind of depends on what Artie wants to do.
I hope so. I really do hope that there is a big name to come in, whether that is a Snell or a Bellinger. I just think that there needs to be some kind of a splash made. And Stevenson's great on kind of three-year contract, but I do feel like there needs to be a bigger splash made just to have kind of a little bit of hope and fill a little bit of the void that was left by Shohei missing kind of that star player and that the person that brings people to come and want to watch Angels games.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I actually am worried. I don't think enough people are talking about the home run ball and the amount of power we've lost losing Shohei. Like, everyone seems to be sort of talking about Shohei as a whole, and I get it, like what he brought on the mound, particularly leadership qualities, and obviously we know what he was doing power the last couple of years. But I don't think people have spoken enough about how much we're actually losing in terms of that aspect, and we have not replaced it at all. Internal candidates just don't really get me going in the same way. You know, like some people may be looking at like Joe Adell to come in and fill some of that power void in the DH spot potentially, or if he's going to be even on the roster, which we're going to get to shortly. But I personally still think we need a power bat. We need a middle of the order, someone that can come in and hit 30 plus bombs a season. Because even when you look at like the power positions traditionally, look at our first baseman, for example. Again, we'll get onto this in more detail, but someone like Nolan Shanuel, we're not expecting power from him from a first baseman's point of view, where you generally will expect some power. So are you worried about that? And surely Perry is noticing the same things as us.
Yeah, I think you have to be, because the league has very much gone to almost a home run or bust kind of league, where it's kind of very much long bomb oriented. And the Angels were very much home run oriented last year. So to lose the 40 plus home runs that you get from a Tony, plus the kind of triple digit sums of RBIs as well, it's a big void to fill. And you're hoping, again, it's all hope on bounce back years, we've said, with the new pitchers coming in, but you're hoping that Rendon bounces back finally and can be healthy and get back to being consistently Tony two bags, getting the RBIs and hopefully adding a few more home runs right-handed this year. Obviously hit the one left-handed, but hopefully can hit some more right-handed ones this year. And then you're hoping for, like you say, people to step up, and hoping that Ohapi can be healthy for a whole year. He's a potential candidate to fill a bit of the home run void. Matt Tice got a bit of power. He can kind of fill in the DH spot as well. And then, like you say, with Adele and those kind of those other guys, but there's nothing even remotely close to the level of Ohtani. It's just hoping that everyone can kind of pick up the slack. But it's just something that we haven't seen previously, with everyone picking up the slack and people have just kind of meandered along, I guess, and we can't afford to carry anybody. Everyone needs to step up.
I do, and I think maybe this plays into the arrival of Ron Washington as manager as well, the type of baseball we're going to play. Maybe losing some of that power, but trying to get back to the fundamentals, run the bases better, drive in runs better, because we've been terrible at driving in runs. Run scorer's position has been pretty bad for quite a while now. So maybe that is in the approach. Maybe we are looking at it as, we're losing this power, but hopefully we'll get these guys playing some more fundamental baseball, some more old school baseball. And yeah, we'll see. I think the one question I have following up from that, and I'm sure you've seen the reports as well, is what happens with Artie Moreno in the next couple of weeks, months, year? Like, there's definitely still some smoke there that he is looking to sell the team. We've seen a sale, quite quiet sale of the Orioles recently. Is there potential for the Angels to be going under the radar here and Moreno close to selling?
I don't think so. I think it's all, they say that there's no smoke without fire, but I think it's all smoke. I think it's all smoke. I think that kind of listening to the radio piece that is there about Moreno selling the team, it's a source, it's a person within baseball. It's kind of very unvalidated claim. So I think it's nothing more than a rumor to get a few clicks and kind of get a few people interested in this kind of, I guess, insignificant show more than anything else. I don't think there's any weight to any claims that have been made at all. I think that while nobody really knows, because Artie Moreno is so kind of withdrawn from everything, he's not really been seen in public since last spring training when he answered very few questions about what the hope of the team was for the season. And he's not really been seen since then. So no one really knows, but I don't think there's any weight to anything about him selling the team. I feel like when he announced he was putting the team up for sale, I feel like he would do something similar again. He wouldn't go about it quietly.
I mean, I think you're probably right. That's not necessarily the answer I wanted to hear, but I think the logic from what we know about Moreno previously and the previous attempt at a sale suggests that this wouldn't be going under the radar. But it is curious that we're not hearing really anything at all about a lot of the long-term future of the ball club. That is what I would say. Both the way that Perry's had to approach this offseason, or what we think he's had to approach this offseason with, in terms of signings, to stadium, to the lease, things like this. We're not hearing anything about the long-term future of the club. So I definitely do think there is some smoke there, I've got to be honest. Whether or not it leads to the fire we want to see, I think you might be right at this stage. But I do think somewhere bubbling under the surface, there is still potential for a sale of this ball club, because right now, as we said in the last episode, it just feels like we're in a sort of limbo zone where we don't really know what's happening either way. And the Halos keep being linked to these players. Insiders, don't they? They keep with Snell, with Bellinger, with whoever. The Angels are always just, you know, their name is thrown out there here and there. They're being used for whatever purpose, whether that is a genuine interest waiting for the price to come down, or whether that is just agents using the Angels' name because they know they can do and they've made these sort of deals in the past. I think there is something going on here with the Angels, but I just can't get to the bottom of what it is.
Yeah, I think, like you say, I think everyone's just losing the names because the Angels haven't made a big signing and they potentially have that money available to spend. Every big name that's gone is just being linked. And I think everyone's going, oh, the Angels have held talks, the Angels are interested. Every ball club should be interested in these top tier free agents. I think everyone should be interested. But knowing what the Angels spent last year and what the kind of gap is now, they have that money to spend. So I just feel like they're being linked to anyone and everyone because people think that they're going to make a move. Whether they do or not, obviously remains to be seen. But the hope is there that one of these kind of big free agents will end up making their way down to Anaheim.
Yeah, let's wait and see. I think we'll find out more in the next 2 weeks. Probably by the time we next record, we'll have something to talk about, whether that's an Angel signing or someone signing elsewhere. But let's get into what I want to do today, Toby. And I sort of text you in the week. I just said, we'll have a deep dive of the Angels roster, but I'm going to give you options, effectively, of each player. So you can DFA them, you can trade them, you can let them play out their current contract, or you can extend them. Right, they're the four options I'm going to give you for players we've currently got on the roster. And let's see if we can sort of agree where we go with this team. And I think it kind of will depend on where we see the current lot taking us to the approach. And I have a few thoughts on some of these players that might not be the conventional. But I'm going to start, let's start out in left field. I'm going to work my way around the outfield and then across the infield. So let's start out with Taylor Ward. What would you do with Taylor Ward? So I think he's currently in ARB 2. I think he's an unrestricted free agent after 2027. So I think it's 3 years, currently being paid about $4.5 million.
I would let Taylor Ward play out his contract. I think see where he's at, see if he can, obviously got the hit to the face last year, so he wasn't really the same player that he was that we saw in the 2022 season, which was just kind of historic for him, that wasn't really seen before, kind of came out of nowhere, going from being around, like not even kind of making the team. And then obviously we got rid of Justin Upton and he ended up being the starting left fielder and then ended up playing really, really well. So I think see if he can get back to that level And if he does, then look to extend him. I think that because he is kind of 30 and kind of approaching the into his 30s, the trade value is kind of diminishing. But if he can get back to the level that we've seen from him and we know that he can do, if he can do that, keep him and just see what he can do.
I definitely take your points. And this is a tough one for me to say because I love Taylor Ward. He's obviously a friend of the show. He's been on, really great guy. I want to see him succeed. And last year's injury was just horrifying. And I really hope he can get back to where he was. However, I truly think where this team is currently, I'd probably try and trade him. I probably think if you look in terms of value, the sort of players we have available for trade, Taylor's got to be up there. He's had some good times. He's shown he can be an above average major league outfielder. He's got a couple of years left in his deal. This is probably prime in terms of value you're going to get for him. I would probably try and trade him if the market was there. And now the market may not be there and that sort of changes things. But in this hypothetical situation, I think for me, Taylor Ward was a prime trade candidate to try and get younger, to try and get some pitching. And as we're about to talk about, we have some outfield depth. Whether or not it's the outfield depth that is going to be successful, that's another question. But right now, I think I would probably put Taylor Ward on that trade category.
Yeah, I think I can definitely see the benefits to trading him. And like I say, getting a little bit younger, it's also kind of what the return would be. I think, like you say, the major draw for Taylor Ward is that he does have kind of 2 years beyond this year under team control. So I think that that can be quite attractive to teams that want someone who can step in and just kind of play right away, which some players who do have that team control can't really do. So definitely see where you're coming from in that you'd see trading him, but it's just kind of what do you get in return? I think you'd have to look at the package that you get and see whether it's actually worth doing or not.
Absolutely. The next one I'll chuck in there then is Joe Adell. And Joe Adell is a very interesting case, obviously. We know what he's done in the minors. We know the power he's got, but just hasn't yet translated to Major League Baseball. What are you doing with Joe?
I'm keeping Joe Adell. I think that because he hasn't proven it at the Major League level, there isn't going to be a lot of trade value for him. I mean, he's only 24, is he? So he's still got massive potential, but it's not been fulfilled. Obviously, he absolutely rakes in the minors and just bangs home runs for fun. But for a guy that strikes out over 40% of the time in the majors, it's just kind of who wants to take a flyer on that and who kind of sees that and wants to turn that around. Obviously, I feel like the previous kind of outfielder the Angels had that we then traded was Brandon Marsh, who was, again, a really high strikeout guy. And then everyone saw what he ended up doing with the Phillies, and he was just incredible. So it's, does someone feel like they can turn him around as well, like they did with Brandon Marsh? And can they turn him into a consistent major leaguer? Or with the new staff that we've got in the Angels, can they do it? But I think we see what we have in-house and try and keep him and try and get him up to the level like we've got in the Angels and try and see where it can take us.
I think I'd probably agree with you only because I think any sort of trade return is going to be so diminished on what it would have been a few years ago. But he is only 24. A few years ago, he was the next big thing for the Angels. But right now, he's got a career minus 1.4 war. He's only got 18 home runs, 66 RBIs, 7 steals. His career batting average in the majors is .214. He has nearly 100 more strikeouts than hits in 500 career ABs, right? That is not a guy that is giving you any sort of real promise that he's going to turn his minor league form into a real exceptional major league career, or even an average major league career, which, to be honest, right now I'd take. I would think I do agree with you in terms of there's no point trying to trade him now. And he's obviously on a long, he's pre-arb, so he's here until 2029 or whatever it is. But I do have real concern. It's a make or break year for him.
Yeah, for sure. This is his last year of pre-arb. So next year is his first year of arbitration. So it's kind of, I also think it depends what value he can kind of command in arb as well. Because if he does kind of better this year and can still get him on a kind of cheap enough arb deal, I'd still kind of stick him around. If he can decrease the strikeout numbers this year and get a few more hits and get on base a bit more, I think the steals, like you said, he's only got 7. I mean, we know how athletic Adell is, and with Ron Washington saying he wants to be more aggressive running the bases this year, hopefully he can become more of an impactful player and just give him some confidence. I feel like that's what he needs. When you're kind of striking out so much and, like you say, got over 100 more strikeouts than hits, it's a guy who just isn't that confident at the major league level. I feel like he just needs to have the consistent reps and just a little bit of belief that that he can do it, because I feel like there is a player in there somewhere.
Time will tell, but I think, yeah, I'm not optimistic, but I really hope I'm wrong. And I know some people are desperate to see Adele succeed. I'm one of those. I'd love to see him succeed, but just not confident that we're going to ever see him really be a major league regular. Moving on into center field then, and this one probably won't take too long. Mike Trout in center field is here until 2031 when he's a free agent. Average of 35 mil a year, but it's Mike Trout going into his age 32 season. What are you doing with Michael Nelson Trout?
I'm keeping him, and I am getting the designs ready for the statue that will be outside Angel Stadium for when he does eventually retire.
No thought in your mind about trading him?
No, none at all. I feel like the only way that I would even consider trading Mike Trout is he wants to go and win a World Series, which potentially might never happen. It at the Angels, or even just make the playoffs, which he's only ever done once, which is just crazy to think about that Mike Trout has been in one postseason in his career for the incredible hitter that he is. So if it came down to it, when he's kind of approaching 40 and he wants to go and chase a World Series title, then yeah, sure, maybe at that point. But in the near future, no, I think there's no point in kind of, you've already alienated so much of the franchise by letting Otani walk. I feel like if you trade Trout, they're just going to absolutely rip the bottom out of the entire fan base, and there'll be a lot of people that might just not return.
I think you're right. I've never really wanted to engage with the trade talks. I've never thought we would go down that path. I think Mike Trout is a Halo as long as Mike Trout wants to be a Halo. I also think in terms of trade, let's be honest, who is paying what we'd want or need to see to trade Mike Trout at this point, where he's had 4 years of injuries? He hasn't been healthy for quite a long time. He hasn't finished the season. Last year was by far his worst in terms of the peripherals and everything. Looks like they may be on a downward turn. We'll see this year if he's healthy. But there is no way on earth that trading Mike Trout is the right thing to do for this franchise at this point. Mike should be there as long as Mike wants to be there. And yeah, he's just as you said, he's going to have a statue outside. He's a legend of the franchise. He's a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. So keep him.
I do think the one question and the one kind of topic you could have around Trout is moving him to one of the corner outfield positions and maybe increasing a few more DH days in there for him, because obviously we've lost Otani, so there is that DH open. So I think you can keep him healthier this year if you can potentially get him to move to one of the corners, which is a bit less intense on the running, and then kind of have him play a few DH days in there as well, and that can keep him healthier in the long run. So I feel like that will be the conversation that is had around Mike Trout in the future, but there'll be, for me, there should be no talks about trading him whatsoever.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, he'll definitely have to be moved at some point and definitely need some more DH days. Although I might have made this up totally, so ignore this if it's wrong, but I'm pretty sure Mike Trout does not hit very well when he's a DH compared to when he's playing the field. It's just something that seems to stick with me from broadcasts of years gone by, but as I said, I might have just made this up in my head, so take from that what you will.
Yeah, I think I have heard that, so maybe it's something worth doing a deep dive into
for sure. So next option then in center, let's go with Aaron Hicks, who's obviously on a minimum deal just for this year. I think this one's pretty straightforward. We'll just let him play out the year, right? There's not much more to be said at that point.
Let him play out. He's just joined. If he does well, See what he can bring back. Obviously, he's still, as we mentioned before, he's still being paid a lot by the Yankees. So yeah, keep him on a minimum. See how he does.
Yeah, moving on then into left field and Mickey Moniak. Mickey is also pre-arb, same contract experience level as Joe Adele, I believe. So I think again, this is an absolute no-brainer. But Toby, what are you doing with Mickey?
Yeah, I'm keeping him around and seeing how I can do. He's proven himself a lot more than Joe Adele. He struggles massively against left-handed pitching, obviously, which is kind of one of the reasons that Aaron Hicks has come in to kind of platoon with Moniak. But if he can do a little bit better against the left-handers, then I would actually look at doing what is kind of an on-vogue thing at the minute in Major League Baseball and kind of getting rid of the arbitration completely and just signing him to a nice long-term deal to keep him happy and don't have to go through arb. Because I like what he's brought, and I feel like he is still young enough to be part of the core of what we have in the future. And I'd like to keep him around.
Interesting. So you're actually going to go extension rather than...
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've seen enough from him to want to extend him long term. Look what we did with someone like David Fletcher. That's going to be my argument. Extended Fletch, and I mean, he's basically robbing a living from the Angels now. Not that he's there anymore, but still getting paid, paid his money. I'm not sure I've seen enough from Mickey to want to extend him just yet. I'd like to see more from him this year. See if he can improve on those struggles against left-handed pitching, as you said. See if he can just take that next step. But like, don't get me wrong, very happy with him last year. Very happy with the debut performance as a everyday player in the majors. And hopefully he can stay healthy. He's had some bad luck with injuries, I know, going back to his Philadelphia days and now. So yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready to extend him yet, but I definitely take your point. But I want to see him continue in that role and everyday player and just see what he can do for the Halos. I think he needs to have a big year if we're going to be successful.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like there's a lot of players that will need to have big years, and Moniak is no exception. But yeah, I think if he continues on the track that he's been on with the improvements that he's made, if he can keep doing that and kind of keep the batting average high, I feel like he's a very different archetype to Fletch, who's just a contact player and he would never hit for power, whereas Moniak has a little bit of pop in the bat. So if that can keep getting better, then yeah, there's no reason why I don't think the Angels should extend him.
Agreed. Right, let's move on to the infield, and I'm going to start up third base just because, get this one out of the way. Anthony Rendon got another 3 years left on his 7-year, $245 million deal that he signed with the Halos, averaging around $35 million a year. He's barely played in this whole time as a Halo. What are you doing with Anthony Rendon?
I feel like it's just too much money to swallow to get rid of him. I feel like you have to kind of let him just play out and hope that he can find some kind of form and stay somewhat healthy. I just think that because it is so much money, he's got another 3 years at $38 million it is a year. It's just way too much. Maybe in his last year of his deal, like we've seen the Angels do with Pujols and Upton, who are making kind of large sums of money, and kind of let them go until it gets to his last year. I feel like this next year or two, you have to keep him and just see what he can do. No one's going to trade for that contract based off the last kind of 3-4 years that he's had. So there's no point even trying to include him in any kind of trade talks. No one's going to want to swallow that money, and the Angels aren't going to want to take 120 odd mil of dead money by not having him on the roster. So it just makes sense to keep him and hope that he can stay healthy.
I think you're probably right. You make some really good logical points, which I can't really argue with. I mean, I think that is probably the direction you have to go with this. However, I would say 2 points, which we've sort of spoken about last week and I've spoken about previously. If he is so bad as a clubhouse figure, if the sort of attitude that you get from Anthony Rendon is having a hindrance on the guys, you do have to potentially just swallow that money and cut him loose. And I know it is a ridiculous amount of money, but it's not our money. It depends on how much you want to see the Angels win in some ways and the leadership involved. And I think we probably know the answer to that in terms of the money, but I would just put it out there on the table that if we think he is actually causing harm to the franchise as opposed to just not offering much, then I think you have to look down that path. B, you're spot on in terms of trades. Obviously, nobody's taken on that contract or the player. However, I guess there's always the option that you can look at packaging him with somebody that they do want. Some of the young guys, if you're looking at trade talk, some of the guys I'm going to get onto shortly that I might be looking to trade, you obviously will still have to take on a fair chunk of the money, is my guess. You'd probably have to pay off at least half of that in a trade. But you never know. You might be able to package him in with someone, get a diminished return just to take on some of that salary and the player. I think it's a long shot, but again, that might be one of the options I'd choose. But I think ultimately we're going to have to let him play out at least this year and see what happens. And if we have the same sort of year as he's had the last few, then maybe with 2 years to go, you can DFA him.
Yeah, I think the hope is as well with the new coaching staff that we have can inspire him to love his baseball again and hopefully get a little bit healthy, a little bit more motivated. And I think, like you say, if he is being a disruptive locker room clubhouse presence, I don't think there would be any hesitation to just tell him to stay at home or just kind of DFA him. Because I feel like if you do have someone, like say, who is a negative influence on the young guys that we've got coming through, I don't think there would be any hesitation, especially with the new leadership structure in place with Ramos. I don't think there'll be any hesitation to just kind of tell him to stay away. I don't think that they would kind of prevent that from being a likely scenario.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. All right, so Rendon's staying for a year. We'll move across then to shortstop, Zach Neto. Again, I think this is probably a very easy one, but what are you doing with Zach?
I'm keeping him around. Yeah, I feel like seeing if he can stay healthy, I think that's the big thing. Obviously, in the college game, you don't play as much as you do in Major League Baseball, obviously, Rendon does make a good point about 160 games being a lot. And if we can keep Neto healthy, then there's no reason why I think we can just skip arbitration completely and sign into a nice long-term contract. I think he is one of the cornerstones of this franchise going forward. And if he can stay healthy and prove that last year wasn't just a flash in the pan, then yeah, there's no reason why I don't think we can have to go through the whole debacle of arbitration and just kind of skip that completely and keep him around for a long time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd probably look at him as an extension candidate. I have slightly more trust than I do in Moniak, only just the way he's come up so early in his major league career and performed the way he does as a leader. And also just at the shortstop position, just the way he plays the field, seems to inspire the others. He's one of those young guys that seems to instantly take on a leadership role, which you got to respect and the sort of guy you want to build around. So I think I'd probably let him play out this year, but then I would be looking at extension maybe in the off season, giving one of those Braves type deals where he sticks around for a few years after his ARB years. We don't really have another proper shortstop on the roster. There's someone like Kyron Paris or some of the guys we saw a bit last year, but I'm just going to move on to second base. I'm going to leave this as sort of the guys we know are locked to the roster. And Brandon Drury, in the second year of his 2-year, $17 million contract that he signed. So he's a free agent at the end of next year. What are you doing with Brandon?
Just to go back to Neto as well, we need to keep him around for Maggie Neto's amazing presence on Twitter. Zach Neto's mum, for anyone that doesn't know, is just, Maggie is brilliant. Always retweeting, always getting involved, and just absolutely loves the team and everyone involved. So yeah, I feel like one of the main reasons to keep Zach around is just to have Maggie in Angels baseball community.
Not just Maggie, in fairness, the whole family gets involved.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, back onto Brandon Drury. I think I have liked what I've seen out of Drury as a utility infielder and kind of just being able to slot in everywhere. And I would actually look to extend him. But if the season doesn't go as planned, then he would definitely be a trade candidate, especially because he is making kind of $8.5 million this year. So he would be one that if the season does take a turn for the worst, he would probably be on the chopping block. But I like what I've seen and I like what he's brought to the club. So yeah, try and keep him around, I would say.
I like him a lot, but he's 100% a trade candidate for me. As we said, this is not really a winning year. I don't see any way we put a winning product on the field right now, personally. And I know we're trying to be optimistic, but I just can't see it. I'm really struggling to see it. And I want to see it, but I don't. Which means that someone like Brandon Drury, paying $8.5 million to as a veteran, really good first season as a Halo, really like him, seems like a good bloke and everything else. But like, what's the point of paying him that money when you're not going to win? So if you were getting any sort of return again on him right now, I'd be trading him. I think you're right. If we're not winning at the deadline, he's 100% gone. Going into the year though, I like him, but he's on the block.
Yeah, I think he probably is because he does only have the 1 year left and he is a proven major league veteran. Kind of like we mentioned about Taylor Ward, about being able to come in and do it. I feel like he'd definitely be someone that teams might be sniffing around, but As we've discussed, and pretty much everyone in the Angels fan base has discussed, nobody knows the direction of the franchise. So I feel like if Drury does go before the season starts, then you know that we're committed to losing this year. But as nobody knows, and the Angels have, like we've said, don't really know either, he will be one that does stick around for at least the first kind of two, three months of the season and see where it's going. But yeah, he'd definitely be on the trade block if the season doesn't go as I think the front office might hope. But I think realistically, as you say, the Angels aren't going to be winning many games. So I feel like he would be one of the first players to be shipped out the door.
Yeah, I think so. And the other guy that can obviously play across the diamond here is Luis Renjifo. And everybody in this show knows we are big Luis Renjifo fans, always was, Dave was as well. But he's got 2 years left on his ARB, paying him over $4 million, I think, this year.
$4.5 million this year. Yeah,
so it's getting expensive for what he is. We know he's streaky. You know he's got it in the locker. You know he always doesn't perform. What are you doing with Renhifo?
I think he's a trade candidate for me. I think he's someone that, again, has been proven that he can do it in patches. It's very, very patchy. I feel like with Renhifo, we need someone who starts the season strong to pair with Renhifo. Because Renhifo looks like he's never played professional baseball for the first month, 2 months of the season. And then suddenly the switch flips and then he looks like he's kind of been doing it for 20, 30 years. His season splits in terms of start towards the end are just incredible. So I think if you can have someone to start the season in place of him and then just wheel him out in May, June, and then have him for the rest of the season, you can ride that wave, then yeah, keep him around. But I just think he is too streaky to have on the team. I feel like he is someone that has the extra year of team control after beyond this year. So I think he's very much a trade candidate for me.
Yeah, I mean, can't disagree. Should have been traded. I know there's been some interest and I think probably should have gone if we got any sort of decent return. But I also don't know where he fits right now in this Halos team. I mean, obviously we know we need depth. You need utility guys. He's great because he can play pretty much every position in the infield to varying degrees of success. But I think to start the season, he obviously starts on the bench. I think Brandon Drury's got second base locked up. Neto back in at short. I think Rendon will start the season at third. And then you're looking at first base. So are we going into the year assuming that Nolan Chanuel is our first baseman? And if so, what are you doing with him?
I would be assuming that Nolan Chanuel is our starting first baseman. Just because of what he proved. And there's also nobody else really within the org. I mean, Matt Tice can kind of spot start at first base, but he's also the backup catcher. So you don't want him playing too many days. So I would assume that Chanuel is the starting first baseman on opening day. What am I doing with him? I'm keeping him around and seeing what he can do. But as you said beforehand, he's not a traditional first baseman hitting for power and just going for the long ball. So if there is someone that the Angels can get to be able to do that, then I would see if Chanuel can play middle infield, because that's the more kind of type of player that he fits in terms of his bat. If he can do that, I'm not sure if...
I don't think the defense is good enough. I think the only place he could probably go is one of the corner outfield spots.
Yeah, so if there's a capability there to do it, then I would potentially move him if we can get someone to fill the traditional first base role, because as you said, there's not a lot of power throughout this lineup. So he is someone that is great hitting for contact at the top of the lineup, but it's kind of not ideally what you want out of a first baseman.
No, I mean, yeah, I think we'll just see how it goes. He was rushed up last year. I'm not really sure why, to be quite honest, but we'll see how it goes. I'm sure some power will come. I'm sure he's going to develop at major league level. So we'll just wait and see. On to the catchers. And I think Logan O'Hoppe as a one. I just fantastic. What an inspiration he was last year coming in straight away. Just leadership, bombs, just catching ability, calling the staff, calling the game. Just excellent. I loved him. Getting injured was horrible. We missed him when he was out. He came back, hit a few more bombs. So O'Hoppe is a leader of the future for this team. And to jump in ahead of you, I mean, he's the prime extension candidate as well, I think. You let him play out the year, but after that, I think you're looking to tie him down as your catcher of the future, if and when necessary.
I completely agree. Catchers like this don't grow on trees, as they say. So I think he's someone that definitely needs to stick around for a long time. We know we've got something good coming on, and the Angels obviously traded Edgar Quiero at the trade deadline last year, who was supposed to be the catcher of the future within the Angels organization. But now we've got O'Hoppe, he's going to be that guy. And I think he can be the Angels starting catcher for the next kind of 10 plus years if they really want him to be. I think he's showing the potential to be, like you say, with the power. And it was such a shame that he got injured, because he was kind of really up there in the rookie of the year conversation that first kind of few weeks of the season before he did have the injury. And I feel like if Adley Rutschman for the Orioles didn't come around, people would be talking about O'Hoppe as the catcher of the future.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think we're all pretty impressed by just how good he was. And it was sort of a win-win trade for all of us, with us and Philly. They're happy, we're happy. So, yes, just see how it goes. But O'Hoppe's going to be big for this team moving forward. The other guy at the catching spot is now out of options is Matt Tice. he has had a very stop-start major league career, didn't really have a position, sort of bumped around in either diamond. Now he's back behind it. He's catching again. He had a pretty decent 2023, all things considered. What would you do with Matt?
I would keep him around. So Matt Tice is kind of, this is his last year before he hits arbitration. So I'd kind of keep him through that. Because he's a good kind of major league level backup catcher. He's never going to be an everyday guy, but he's good from what he does. I feel like his defensive miscues last year were prevalent. It's quite regularly he was kind of stepping his glove in front of the plate and affecting batter's swing. So if he can kind of cut down on those issues, and obviously he is still quite relatively new to relearning, I guess, the catcher position, because he came into the organization as a catcher and then they moved into first base. And then when the Angels realized they had no depth at catcher, they then thought, oh, he can go back there. So he is kind of relearning the position. And I think he's one to stick around because he's has proven to be a good player. So yeah, I'd very much look to keep him around and see what he can do backing up. And then obviously, like we say, with the DH spot opening up, he is a candidate to then also fill into that as well, depending on who's starting pitching and kind of the rotation that we are facing. He is one to look at as adding a bit of power to the DH as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, he's an interesting player. I'm not sure the catching ability is quite there yet, as you sort of touched upon. But we have to remember that he had some years out and it does take a while to get up to speed, calling games again at major league level and learning your pitching staff. But ultimately, you can't ask for too much more from a backup catcher that can fill in at first base, can fill in at DH if necessary. He's got some pop. He's got some ability with the bat. So let's see how it goes. But I'd probably do the same as you, give him another year and then see. He might even be a trade candidate next year since he's out of options. You're not getting much for him, but you never know. You might be looking at trading him away and getting a veteran backstop on a pretty cheap or minimum league deal just to back up Ohoppy. But let's see. I think right now you give him some time. Let's move on to the pitching staff then. And I'll start at the top, which is Reed Detmers. Reed's been up a couple of years now. I think this is his final year of pre-arb as well, getting paid about $4.5 million again. What are you doing with Detmers now? Are you starting to look at extension? Are you looking to trade him? Are you looking to just see how he develops?
I'd give him the year and see how he does. I would keep him the entire season and see how he develops and if he can. I guess he was very, very patchy last year. He had kind of starts where he'd have throw consecutive really good games and then he'd struggle for a few and then he'd do really well. So I feel like if he can bring that consistency and maybe somewhere in the middle between his quality starts and his not so good starts, if he can kind of find a nice middle ground consistently, then I would happily look to extend Reed Detmers. But I'm not going to touch any kind of extension before he proves that he can do it consistently, because that's what has been missing from his game.
Yes, I definitely take your point. What I would say is we know the stuff's there. Young left-handed starting pitchers don't grow on trees like Reed Detmers with the ability we know he does have, even if it isn't consistent. If you get a great year out of Reed Detmers, and he's going to be like the Angels' ace or number two, if you get a great year out of him, the price is just going to keep going up and up and up. I might be looking at an early extension to try and lock him down for cheaper. And obviously it's a gamble in terms of it could backfire if he flames out and doesn't become the pitcher we want him to. But there's nothing I see from Detmers which suggests that's going to happen. I realize we've touched upon his up and down nature and lack of consistency a bit. But for me, I'm looking to trade to extend him fairly soon, whether it's even mid-season, whether it's definitely the end of next season. I think I'd probably be getting it done before he gets so expensive.
I think I would quite happily take the risk. And even if it costs you an extra few million dollars a year, then you have a known quantity rather than kind of betting on what he could potentially do. I would rather see it before paying him the money that he then will deserve, rather than kind of paying him a little bit less, because then there is also the potential that he won't kind of come to fruition. So yeah, he's very much one that I'm willing to wait and see. And then if we do have to pay him a little bit more, then it will be fully deserved.
The other one on the same sort of trajectory is Patrick Sandoval, who's a year further in. He's in arbitration now. He's earning $5 million $1 million this year coming up. I think he's got 3 years left, including this one, before he hits free agency. Similarly, what are you looking to do with Patrick?
I think he needs to bounce back in a big way. He struggled massively last year, and I feel like he's very emotional, and we've seen that when he can just kind of almost just lose his head a little bit and just needs to kind of focus up a little bit more and just see how he gets on. And if he can, again, if he's one that can bounce back, then I'd happily kind of pay him the few extra dollars if he can prove it and get back to a level that we know he can do. We saw it in the World Baseball Classic that when the lights are under him or the lights are shining on him, he can perform. So if he can do that for the Angels, then I would happily look to extend him. But again, if he's struggling, then just let him play out and then just let him go after that.
Yeah, I think I probably agree. I'm not convinced by him as an extension candidate like I am with Detmers. Detmers, I think, is a long-term future piece of this Angels rotation. Sandoval, I'm on the fence with. I really like him. I really like some of what he brings. But also there's definitely elements, as you say, where he still needs to mature and still needs to become the pitcher he could be. And the WBC was a great example of how he can be on that big stage. So we'll see, but I'm letting him play out this year and then looking at extension potentially next offseason with 2 years left, if he's had a good year. But at the same time, just slightly wary about some of the blow-ups we've seen in the past. The next guy, Tyler Anderson, he's got 2 years left on that three-year, $39 million contract that he signed. So he's $13 million a year. I mean, I don't think we need to touch on this too much. I don't think either of us are hugely impressed by him. I don't think he's anything more than a four or a five, but at the same time, for $13 million, he's just going to play that out, isn't he? Right?
Yeah, I think like if playing out, or if you can convince anyone to take him on and hope that he can get back to his kind of, at this point, it is very much an outlier season, his kind of contract year with the Dodgers. And I feel like that's not an insignificant trend that often players on the kind of year before they hit free agency do really well and then get a contract and then regress back to the mean. So if you can find someone, convince them that Tyler Anderson is the pitcher that he was 2 years ago, then I would happily kind of let him go and trade him somewhere. But yeah, if we can't find a good trade candidate, then yeah, just let him play out and then happily let him walk after the end of the 2025 season.
Yeah, any chance you want to DFA him after this year? I mean, it's hard to say without knowing how the year goes, but I think there's probably a potential that this year could go quite badly and he does get DFA'd.
I don't think he would get DFA'd this year at all, because he does have kind of this year and next year. I think it would be one. It'd be a case of next season, if he does poorly, they'd be DFA'd then. I can't see them kind of taking an extra year of his salary plus whatever they would owe him for the rest of this season as well.
We need him to bounce back, basically. We need him to at least be a little bit better than he was last year just to make up that money. And the rotation, obviously, is down to a five-man now, so a little bit more pressure on each of these guys' shoulders going into the year without Shohei. The interesting one, I think, from this rotation, the most interesting anyway, is Griffin Canning. Now, Griffin Canning had his bounce-back year last year after injuries and was pretty good on the whole. But he's 4 years in experience-wise, so he's well into ARB. He's only got 2 years left. He's only being paid $2.6 million this year. But if he has another good year, what are you looking to do with Griffin?
I'm extending him. I think he's done really, really well. And he's that potential that we knew that he had before the back injuries. He's proven that it's there. And he stayed pretty healthy last year as well. So if he can have another half season of that, then I'd look to extend him mid-season and just keep him around for another few years. I feel like he's a really, really good pitcher. I like Griffin Cannon a lot, and I like what he's shown, and I like what he's brought to the pitching staff as well. So yeah, I'd definitely be one that I would look to extend.
Are you not worried about the injuries at all?
I think, like I say, if he can stay healthy throughout the first half of the season, then I would look to extend him. If he does struggle with injuries, then maybe look to trade him, knowing that he does have the extra year of team control. But if he's healthy, I'm keeping him around.
Yeah, I'm probably not as bullish on Canning as you are. I mean, I definitely would keep him around this year. I want to see what he can do. I'm definitely not thinking extension yet, even with the time frame left. I think with his injury track record, you just have to wait and see on how his career develops from here and whether he can stay healthy. and whether he gets found out a little bit this year. Because ultimately, last year he came in and hitters didn't have so much data on him, mainly because he's been injured. They didn't have his tendencies. They didn't know, you know, which pitch he was likely to throw when and whatever. So I do think I just want to see another year from Canning before I come to any sort of conclusion. But he's definitely a lock in the rotation for this year, and see how that goes. The final name is Chase Silseth, which I don't think we need to spend much time on. Young guy getting his opportunity. I mean, I think we just see how that plays out for the year and where we go from there.
Yeah, for sure. I do feel like the organization needs to make up their mind on whether he is a long relief man or if he's a starter. And as soon as they can decide, I feel like Silseth will settle into his role really well, no matter if they decide that he's a bullpen arm or if he's a starter. He will do really well in whatever he does, because I like the stuff that he's got. So hopefully he can prove to be an effective player for the Angels.
Fingers crossed. And finally, I'm not going to bother with the bullpen particularly, mainly because we've just signed these guys. We don't know what they're going to be like as Halos. It's quite hard to say. And Perry, we have to trust in terms of lots of guys on one-year deals and Stevenson on the three. But the one name I will throw out there is Carlos Estevez, who signed a two-year, $13.5 million contract last year. So he's coming into this year with $6.75 million in his final year. Obviously had an exceptional first half of the year last year, became an all-star, was fantastic, got tired down the stretch, and we actually spoke about it last time, did not have a great second half of the year. But he, for me, is prime extension candidate, right?
I was going the other way, and I think if the season, if we are kind of, I guess, realistic about the season, we're not going to win a lot of games. For a proven major league closer, and what do they have, 20 consecutive saves to start the year last year? I feel like he has value in a trade package. So I think he's prime trade candidate more than his extension, just because of, I don't think he fits the timeline massively, being the wrong side of 30 with some of the young guys that we've got. And I do feel like the package that we could get would be significant, because obviously everyone was questioning coming out of Colorado and having pretty good numbers, whether he would keep that up at Angel Stadium, which he did. So I feel like he would be someone that we could move on and get quite a lot for.
I think you're right. But I think actually with a few of these players, it's all going to be about where the Angels are in June, where they are coming up to the deadline in July. And then you can make a more informed decision on them. Because I think you are right. I mean, in theory, Estevez is a trade candidate. In theory, you might be able to get something fairly good for him at the deadline. Although at the same time, I think returns at the deadline for guys like Estevez with no control left and not as good as they used to be. Gone are the days where people used to throw the farm for 3 months of a closer. So we shall see, but I think you're probably right. It can go either way. I need to see a bounce back from him from the second half of last year. He should have a bit more help. People like Matt Moore back again is good, because he was great for us again in the first half last year. With Stevenson as well at that back end, that's a nice three piece at the back where should be able to lock down some leads if we ever manage to get some. I take your point on Estevez. I think it's a wait and see for me. I could actually extend him, but you also could see him traded if the Angels are well out of it, because why do you need a closer if you're just continuing to lose games, especially when you've just signed a guy for $3.33 million who can also close out games?
Yeah, for sure. I do feel like you say, if the Angels, as most people predict, aren't going to be in a lot of close games, we're not going to need a closer to either keep us in it or protect that tight lead. I don't see that happening on many occasions. So Estevez might actually end up being really fresh because the Angels just aren't using him. So he might prove to be quite, like you say, a prime deadline target for some contending teams who might need a closer, as everyone does. The bullpen is also always every year kind of the prime deadline target. So Estevez could be one of those come the deadline. Same with Matt Moore as well. I liked what he brought, and I'm glad to see him back in an Angels jersey. I really, really liked what he brought last year. He's one, if I'm touching him just quickly, that I would hope. I'd like to keep him around a little bit longer than this year if he can kind of continue what he did. I liked what I saw of him out in the bullpen.
Yeah, I like Matt Moore as well, but I'm not sure I'd want to keep him long term. $9 million anyway, it's it's quite expensive for probably our seventh inning guy now. But we'll see how the season plays out. That's a sort of dive, I think, into the main guys of the roster. I think the one question I have there is, what do you think was missing? We've run through where we're at. Where do you think we're still a bit light? What would you like to see added in the next couple of weeks? And what do you think this team can achieve, I guess? Although, well, obviously, once we get into the spring, we'll do a proper prediction type pod where we run through this in more detail. But as it currently stands, yeah, what's missing from you? And do you think there is a chance this team could be good?
I think the team's missing infielders and infield depth for sure. A couple of more proven veterans in the infield, and obviously someone to consistently back up Rendon for when he inevitably gets injured. Somebody along the same lines of Gio Urshela, who we signed last year, who obviously unfortunately had a really bad injury. He is still on the open market, so he might be a contender for someone to bring back. Someone along those lines who's proven to be able to do it and can play across the infield. And then another starting pitcher, just to kind of, with the unknown of Silseth, of what he's going to do, if the Angels can add one of the top end starters, either via trade, if there's any trade chips the Angels have without giving up too much, or whether we get somebody like Snell on the open market, whether that can happen. I feel like those are the two moves the Angels need to make. And will the team be good? I am very hesitant to say they will. I mean, what, 2 years in a row, the same number of wins? Could we make it a third in a row? I don't even think they win that many this year. So I'm very... But again, I feel like the team isn't bad enough to be a bottom feeder, but they're not good enough to make the playoffs either. And especially in a division as tough as the West. Obviously, they play less in division games now, but I think that the rest of the division is just way too strong, and the Angels are destined for a kind of fourth place finish again.
Yes, the division is something we haven't spoken about, but it is a really tough place for the Angels to be right now, with how good those Texas teams are, how good the Mariners are, really. Although they always find a way to Mariner it up, which is always welcomed. But I think you're right in terms of what we need. We definitely need another pitcher in the rotation. Hopefully it's a top-end guy rather than back-end, but they're few and far between at the moment, so we have to wait and see. We 100% need another bat. I'm sort of on the fence, so I actually think we need three players. I think the two you mentioned, definitely you need the infield depth and you need the pitcher. I still think we need a DH type. I think you need that power bat, but I am slightly wary about it, only in the sense that you sort of said it earlier, we're going to need to give Mike Trout more DH days. We're going to need to give Anthony Rendon more DH days. If you are buying a specific DH type guy, then that becomes more difficult if you're having to lock and load them into the lineup every year. So I am on the fence with it for that reason, but I do believe if the team was to be successful, you actually need another guy like that to slot in. Infield depth, absolutely. When we were going through that there, I was like, that is so shallow depth-wise. I loved Urshela. I would happily have him back, but I haven't really heard anything about his injury. It was a bad one, and I haven't really heard anything about how he's recovered or how he's doing, and no real links in free agency. So I'm slightly skeptical just on that basis if he's ready or even in baseball shape, but Urshela would be a great sort of guy to bring back, I think. And I imagine would be fairly cheap considering the injury. And yeah, definitely just get me a pitcher. Get me someone in that rotation, because you cannot rely on the options we have.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we are very much in agreement with the DH, but I feel like it, like you say, it depends how competitive the front office see this team being. I feel like if, like you say, to be competitive, you want to have someone DHing consistently, but if it's just a spot kind of giving a guy a break from being in the outfield or being in the infield, then yeah, for sure, just kind of use it as that. But if the team is serious about winning, then yeah, get yourself a consistent DH.
Absolutely. Right, I'm going to leave it there. We've managed to go on for nearly an hour today, just digging deep into the Halos roster constructed as it is. We'll probably be back next time when pitchers and catchers have reported, when players are back on the backfields in Arizona, and we've got some live action to get into, unless there is a signing in the meantime that means we need to come and talk about it. But until then, thank you for listening. This was Halfway Around the Halo. Toby, thank you for coming on and for getting to that roster with me.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Look forward to coming back next time. Hopefully, we have an emergency pod for the Angels who made a splash. But if not, we'll see you kind of around spring training time, I guess.
Exactly. And it's not too long now. We're into February, so the end of the long off season is in sight. All right. If you enjoyed this podcast, please do go and subscribe. If you haven't already, go and give it a 5-star rating. Go and support us on Twitter and Instagram, social media. Just show us your love. Show us the support. We might have this up on YouTube. I haven't decided yet, depending on what it looks like in the edit due to my current state of unwellness. But if not, we'll get it up next time. But yeah, thanks for listening, and go Halos.